as good in. I just quickly did the information technology laboratory at here at this, where it has been for over 10 years. Prior to that, he has worked at the NASA Langley and then restricted to as a contractor. The main focus in research and development is near 3D graphic visualization, digital human modeling, computational methods, and factory recognition. He was also principal technical staff member in the initiation and development of 3D face recognition and 3D shape searching. Finally, he's an active in American standard organizations such as we are now X3D, medical extension of X3D, biometrics, and artificial number of side shape analysis project. He has an MSc in aerospace and mechanical engineering from the University of Arizona.
Okay, thank you.
The title will be 3D shape representation analysis of human body and 3D people.
Hi. Let me acknowledge that part of the work was done in collaboration with Sandy Ressler, who is here. So today I'm going to talk about some of the work that we have done in shape representation and analysis of human bodies. And the second part of my talk is on 3D retrieval interfaces. So the main problem is that these days, this is just an intro, the main thing is that these days, large number of 3D models are created either by scanning or imaging or in CAD system. And the understanding of shape in many of the domains is very important to understand for many of the scientific activities. Basically, these models are put in databases which require method for indexing, searching, analysis, cluster recognition. And one of the method which is used for some of these thing is searching by example. It's okay, so we have developed some techniques for searching through a 3D human database, which is CSER. It's some sort of, in some ways it's similar to what Eric at NRC has done. Okay, so the database, let me just talk about the database. Like the Air Force, along with lots of other partners, scanned like close to, scanned more than 4,000 people, and they also collected some of these landmark information by pasting stickers. So when they scanned it, they also, from this color information, were able to get the XYZ coordinate of the landmarks. But the main problem of the CSER database is that each body, after scanning, has more than 250,000 grid points, which is not very easy to use for doing statistical analysis or even modeling or to compare one person against the other person. So we have developed shape descriptors which are based on human, based on human head and on human body shape. One of the properties of these descriptors is that they should be quick to compute, concise to store, pose independent, like if you're looking at human body, if that's possible and efficient to match. So this is just a diagram, like let's say you have this person, you represent him as a shape descriptor, and if you want to find something similar to this person in this database, then you match the shape descriptor and then you come up with some sort of rank list. For the human head, we have used two types of shape descriptor. One is based on the PCA. What we do is we project each of these human heads into this rectangular grid. Before we do that, we rotate these heads. All of them are positioned and aligned in the same way. And I'm not going to go into details. And the size of this grid is based on some of these landmark points. And then on this rectangular grid, we apply PCA, and we store close to 65 of the first PCAs, and we use that as a shape descriptor. So if we are comparing one head against the other. The second one that we use is basically we cut off at one of these landmark points, cut off the neck of this person, and we map this thing into a sphere. And this mapping is done using a least square approach, and there's convergence problem with 10% of the grids. One of the reasons why there is some convergence problem is there are some voids in different areas, and because we have cut this thing, so there is a hole here, and there is some void in the top of the head and few other areas. So I haven't tried to fill it very cleanly, so that's what I expect. And then once we have mapped it into this sphere, we use spherical harmonics. The difference with this spherical harmonic is it's just surface based, so it's just one ring, not the volumetric one, which people have talked about. And for human body, we have used very simple descriptors because we have some of this landmark information. So we have used distances between main joints, like let's say between the shoulder and your elbow, or between your hip and your knee, or things like that. So some of these distances, they are not completely invariant to pose, because only if you take the center of the joint location, then it's invariant. We are taking the landmark positions, which are defined here, to find some of these distances, but they are still sort of pose independent. So we take 15 of these distances to define the human body shape. The second body shape method that we have used is to render the human body, from the three poses, basically the front, the side, and from the top. And then we find the center of these, render them as silhouettes, and we find the center of the body, and then find the outer radius which defines the silhouette. And we have tried few simple methods. Like one of the methods is to use R, or to use complex number X and I, and use Fourier transforms, or you could use Zenker polynomial or some other methods. So basically, this body shape method is based on and it's based on the principle that if two bodies are similar, then they should also look similar from these three views. And in principle, you could make it more accurate by having more views. This is similar to the light field method that some of the people in some other fields are using. And this is how we get the similarity matrix. So we compare all the bodies. One more thing. Basically, the Caesar bodies were scanned in three poses. One of the poses was standing, and the other was sitting. So we can, since NIST is more into measurement, so we also did a study by which, like how well the descriptor worked. So we compared 200 of the first 200 of the Caesar bodies of subjects which are standing versus 200 subjects which are sitting. So the first three methods that I described are sort of pose independent.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what PCA stands for.
Principal component analysis.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what we do is some sort of identification. Like let's say John is matched to John, so that's how we come up with this rank list. We come up with this rank list. It's a CMC score. It's called cumulative match characteristics, or CMC. With PCA, facial PCA, we can match for these 200 bodies like 85% at rank one. So it's 85% accurate. One of the reasons why the accuracy is low is that the Caesar grid is not as fine as some of the grid that people who have done face recognition, it's not as fine as that. Some of the grids only have like less than 1,000 points on the face. And using the spherical harmonics with this type of identification, we get 94% accurate. And with the body shape, which is based on just distances between some major joints, we get 40% accuracy. The other silhouette one cannot be used because it's not pose independent. So we can't compare people sitting versus standing. So these are some results, which I'll just go quickly. Like we start with, let's say, subject 82 in the Caesar database, and we find some information, and then we can, say, find something similar based on body or face. Like for this subject, we find all the similar body shapes, for this 182, these are all the similar. And based on the face, I think this is the PCA one. Like for this subject, we find these faces which are similar. For subject 14, these are all the similar. Okay, and by using some of these shape descriptors, we can also cluster the human face or the human bodies. So, like if you want to create some sort of like clusters, let's say you're trying to create five types of helmets or three types of facial masks, then you could use some of this information. These are some of the applications that can be used by this representation. The other part of my talk is on 3D retrieval interfaces. Some of the widely used interfaces is 2D sketching, like and the second is based on physical objects. So I'll just go through some of what other people have done. This is from the Princeton webpage on their. Way of searching their database on their website is to draw these three views. I've cheated slightly. Basically, when I drew this thing, the only car that I found was somewhere here. The rest of the things were different, so I just clicked on find something similar, and then it found all these cars. So by just sketching it, it only found one car. So that shows about... the second one is I think National Taiwan University. There is they are doing some work in 3D shape searching. So on their website, I just did it last night. I drew this thing from some of these like you can draw some of these things, and it found this thing. So this is what I got. So you can improve some of these things by even drawing the second view. And then, or by basically going through this, you could further refine it. This is Karthik's work at Purdue on finding CAD parts, and so these are some of the ways of finding 3D bodies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. The other way, based on physical object, is someone in Japan. This is the title of their paper. They have written a few papers where they have used these blocks, and they've used it for a few applications. But one of the application is basically you can connect these blocks, and automatically it will find a ranked list of 3D parts which are similar to this shape. So this is based on physical objects, and on the fly you can change some of these things, and it will change the parts that it or the 3D objects that it finds. So we were also thinking of something based on physical objects, and Sandy and me came up with this idea. The idea is basically like it's basically based on a clay. So basically, using a molding clay, you can create any 3D object, and then there are three cameras, one on the top, and we don't have the two cameras here, one camera here. And what it does is basically takes three pictures, which creates the silhouette for 3D shape searching. Basically, since it's molding clay, as you look at the results, you could change the shape. Like you could increase the size of the tail, or make it thicker, and these are some of the early results that we had got last year. So this is another way of searching. So basically, with this, I would conclude that we have developed shape descriptors for human bodies based on both human head and human body shape. And We have tried it, and the results look reasonable. And we also have done some work with 3D retrieval interfaces, which we are planning to publish soon. And I would like to end my talk. If there are any questions, since I finished it faster.
I just have some comments. In the face matching area, maybe Professor Rasan may have some comments. I've recently been watching the private sector making some significant advances in going from an image to searching by using shape from shading and reconstruction, especially a company in Europe. I don't recall which one it is, but I was wondering what your views are on you know, instead of laser scanning and using 3D content, because face is very specific, you know where the features are, nose, mouth, ears, and so on, as opposed to engineering parts where we don't know what we are looking for. It's a much more difficult problem. So I would assume that perhaps, you know, you can get as good results by using images of faces.
I'm not sure, but there was one professor in Germany who had done lots of work basically trying to create a 3D shape out of pictures. I think he was even funded by Jonathan Phillips when he was one of the DARPA program managers.
I'm talking of faces only.
So.
I don't remember the guy's name in Germany, but he creates it's a constrained problem. You have faces, and he creates a database of a few hundred faces that he knows about. Then, based on a single photo, which is the cool thing, he can create a 3D image by matching visually against this database of known things, and he gets pretty convincing. They get some good 3D images. It's like 2 or 3 years old. It was like magic. I thought it was like a trick, but it's really based on this database sitting under it. Right, right.
It's a 2003 Seagraph paper. Seagraph paper.
The last comment on your clay modeling. We have been working with Professor Kesavdas in Buffalo, in doing the same thing that you have been doing, but doing it digitally using the gloves. You shape the object with the gloves, and then you use that as a query for searching. Not with the camera or physical model. Are you familiar with this
model? No, I'm not. Okay. Basically the block work and the work that we have done, that's the only thing that I'm familiar with.
So first a question, are you using spherical harmonics for your search, for your clay model stuff?
No. Basically, we are just like in the Princeton database, they have given the principal views. So basically, we have rendered all the Princeton database into the three principal views, principal axis views, and basically, so we have three silhouettes. So we use the outer boundary with our clay three views to match the three views.
So it's a image matching.
But
you could probably do it with two cameras and sort of do the triangulation, create the 3D, and from there you can create as many views as you want. That would be one way to do that. Mm-hmm. A second, just to respond to your face question. For the longest time, I used to say it's got to be 3D data, but at the end of it, what do you really care as long as it provides the match, right? The problem with 2D is, you know, lighting and makeup, and we think the geometry, underlying geometry of the face is much more stable, so 3D data. But there are hybrid methods now that do little of this and little of that and little of that, and your cumulative score turns out to be better than just one single approach.
Yeah, basically this is the end, so.